Any home or business can quickly become infested with mold with the introduction of a water source, like a roof or plumbing leak. When your home, your belongings, or your business becomes damaged, it's not just about cleaning up the mess. It's about reclaiming your life, and that's why you need to call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline. A licensed, fully insured, affordable, non-invasive solution to solving any water and mold problems. Our team of trained specialists are available with 24/7 emergency service. We will quickly evaluate your problem and give you a plan that will guarantee results. Water causes damage and mold can spread throughout your property in as little as 48 to 72 hours and can produce allergens and irritants that have the potential to cause serious health hazards. So don't waste time. Give us a call now. For any water or mold problems, call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline.
Call 800-432-8430 today for a free estimate. That's 800-432-8430. 800-432-8430.
IMIS, morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, great to have you with us, and we'll start the show off on a really fascinating note, I think, for most of our listeners. As joining us is Nicholas P. Sargent. His resume is much too long, so I'll see if I can just kind of give you a synopsis of it. He's an international economist, turned global money manager, been involved in the international markets for 40 years or so, and worked on Wall Street for 25 years, you name it, Salomon Brothers, Prudential, J.P. Morgan, pretty fair name companies. He's started his career with the Federal Reserve, and I think that may be my lead question here. He's written extensively on financial markets and was a regular panelist, as I remember, on Lewis Ruckheiser's Wall Street Week. Boy, I missed that show. And he's also an adjunct professor at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. The name of the book, although you thought I'd never get to it, is Global Shocks, an Investment Guide for Turbulent Markets, and it's published by Palgrave Macmillan. Nicholas, it is indeed a pleasure having you on.
Thank you very much, Stu.
Let me open up with your background, because that's always the first thing that intrigues me, being a member of the Federal Reserve, you, not me. And some things just stick out in your mind forever. One of them is a comment Alan Greenspan made a couple of decades ago where he said it wasn't the Federal Reserve's job to control the markets. So what is the Federal Reserve's job?
Well, what they'll say, Stu, is that they have a twofold objective. Number one, try to maintain close to full employment. And number two, try to keep inflation under control. And their argument is that if they do that, that's going to take care of any problems in the future. But really what the book is about is it's not that easy.
Yeah, complicated world we live in. You brought up the issue of inflation. It doesn't seem to be much inflation. What are we looking at potentially down the road? And I want to get to Trump's plan, which I'm thrilled about, as is a former acquaintance of mine, Larry Kudlow. I had the pleasure of hosting a conference in New York for. We're looking at inflation, stagflation, deflation. Where are we heading? You're not hearing the words inflation too much. Where are we going?
Well, you know, right now, I think the reason you're not hearing inflation is it's just not been an issue for over a decade. And in fact, you know, I think we were in a super low inflation environment. The fear was, if anything, could you actually have deflation, which means actually declines in falling prices? And so I think that where we are, Stu, is with the new administration and committed to more fiscal stimulus than any previous Republican administration, the real question is, are we now going to tilt more to, let's call it, reflation? And what I mean by that is not that we go back to the bad days of the 70s or early 80s where you had double-digit inflation. But do you break out of the narrow band where we've been below 2% for so long, and do you start to see inflation creep up maybe 3 or 4%, not immediately, but let's say during the Trump administration?
I want to get to the Trump administration. Look, I'm not an economist, and I'm not pretending to be one. It's like the Geico ads, you know. But I love what he's doing, and to me it just seems so commonsensical about lowering corporate tax rates. We've got the highest tax rate in the world right now, lowering taxes for the middle class, and disposing of two regulations for every one that we're going to add. I'm not sure I have to be an economist to say this is fantastic. It's great. And when people start getting into political debates, and me and I don't do that anymore, because as far as I'm concerned, the issue is resolved and we won. But when you start getting into the debates about it, you know what I say to them? Take a look at the stock market. Now, you know, the comeback is, well, stocks are going to drop. Of course they're going to drop later on. But if you want to get out right now, you can turn a nice profit. What's your opinion on the on Trump's plans here?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I go over when people ask me is, you know, I say focus on the policies. I think, you know, and what you've said is exactly what's caught the market's imagination. It's the market loves the idea that U.S. corporate tax rates, which are among the highest in the world, will now come down at least to the global average and maybe even below that. So that's got to be good for most companies, but especially the smaller mid-cap companies, because they can't hire the lawyers to help them get around the tax loopholes. And that's why small mid-cap have actually outperformed large cap. And then, businesses love the idea of getting rid of a lot of the regulatory burden. So you're absolutely right. This is what the market is focused on now. But, Stu, what I would say is I have to look ahead. And I have so my message is that the tax cuts are fine. The real question is, though, do they lead to an outsized increase in the federal budget deficit? That's going to be the key question as we get into the summer, fall. And here the important thing to note is there's the plan that the Republican House leadership has under Paul Ryan, which would enact tax reform but not lead to a major blowout in the budget deficit, in which case I think the rally can continue. The fear is, though, that some of the things in the Republican plan may not get enacted, and that, in fact, then there's much greater risk of a bigger blowout on the budget deficit, and the consequence of that would be a significant rise in bond yields, and that's when I think the test of the stock market would occur.
I want you to at least, as we head close to a break, you're a historian here. You've done a great job of analyzing this in the book. We can't cover everything. So maybe let's just start with you elaborating on one of the watershed moments here in economic history, and that of Bretton Woods.
Yes, you know, that was where my first job was at the U.S. Treasury in 1971 when we severed the ties between the dollar and gold. And there was a big debate about the time about the significance. And what happened in the end was that it was the beginning of a major acceleration of inflation. Because basically what occurred was that the Federal Reserve was too slow in raising interest rates when the economy was overheating and inflation was taking hold. So first we saw the inflation surge in the U.S., and we were the center of the financial system globally. And then we saw it spread to many other countries of the world, and that's what ultimately put pressure on the fixed exchange rate system breaking down, and we shifted to a non-system called floating exchange rates, where exchange rates will do whatever they want to do. The central banks no longer are controlling them.
You talk about things that are under control, they're not on control. I'm going to get to a break here and ask you to stick around until after the break as well. But the effects of Brexit, the moves towards to nationalism, in a sense, isolationism, protectionism, times change, models change. I mean, I've even shifted my philosophies based upon these new times. I thought Brexit was one of those watershed moments.
Yes. Should I comment now or
yeah,
wait?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. We got. You got about 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So in the case of Brexit, so far there hasn't been much of a market impact, and perhaps that. And if anything, the UK markets have done better than expected. Now, one thing that did happen was a major drop in the value of sterling across the board. So that helped keep the British economy more competitive. But, Stu, what I would say is that the impact of Brexit isn't going to be felt instantaneously. That is, they still have to negotiate over 2 years' time how Britain is going to leave the European Union. And that is no small task. So my argument is that people who say that the fear of Brexit was exaggerated, I'm saying, hang on, let's review that over the next 1 to 2 years. You're not going to know in the very short term. So I think it's to be determined.
All right. And we're going to, as I mentioned, we're going to ask Nicholas P. Sargent to stick around. Great subject. Global Shocks, by the book, Global Shocks, an Investment Guide for Turbulent Markets. You'll gain a worthwhile education, and now maybe we'll move from a little bit of history and theoretically what drives the markets to some pragmatism and what you should do to control your assets. And, it's always, it takes a long time to make them and you can lose them overnight. So Nicholas Sargent will come back and see if he can give you more insight into what to do. The book, Global Shocks. Stay with us.
Are you searching for a compelling speaker who can help your employees empower positive changes in their company? Then meet Stu Taylor. Stu is a true Renaissance man, whose track record as a businessman, professional broadcaster, and author assisted in modifying and shaping the behavior of thousands of people. His vast experience impacts people by emphasizing the need to be proactive and consistently goal-directed in a rapidly changing, fast-paced world where information grows exponentially. Stu Taylor's passion and sincerity translates immediately to audiences. He has mesmerized groups wherever he has spoken with refreshing candor and the ability to address the issues on a level people can identify with. Get results for your organization from someone who has translated his success to thousands. Check out his website at www.stutaylor.com.
Or contact Stu Taylor at 781-860-9548.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
This is Oliver North, host of War Stories on Fox News Channel and author of American Heroes in Special Operations. I just want you to know, Stu Taylor is a great American patriot. Don't miss his show.
Tiger Wilson versus Kid McCoy in the summer.
All right, we're going to return. I wonder how many people remember that song. Check it out by Frankie Lane. Rejoining us is Nicholas P. Sargent. The book, Global Sharks, I'll just tell you, it's a keeper, Global Sharks, an investment guide for turbulent markets. And we were just chatting during the break, and you were talking about the origin of bear markets, and I was going to lead into this segment by talking about the disasters that happened in 2000 and 2008, and, I mean, shook me, I mean, emotionally. You know, everything, almost everything I had done had worked out. It was a stock realization. Glad I didn't get out of the market. You looked at real estate. You looked at high tech. Where do you think the origins of the next bear market will be derived from, the next bubble?
You know, that's a good question. I would say the following, first of all, bubbles, the point I want to make is they're harder to detect than other types of crises, say currency crisis. If you say, Nick, are we going to go through a currency crisis? Stu, I could say, here's the guidebook for typical currency crises. They're easy to spot, and I figured out a strategy to play them. Bubbles, the hardest thing is that they take such a long period of time to unfold. And, you know, you were mentioning the tech situation. So an example, during the bursting of the tech bubble, Robert Shiller wrote a book and said it was irrational exuberance and people just got caught up in mania.
Right,
and
Yale.
He's right.
Great Yale
but
economist, yep.
What he missed, though, was there were many smart investors who said this is a bubble, and they went and they shorted tech stocks, and they were way too early, and they got wiped out. So one of my messages is that you got to be patient. You got to be able to stay in the game. So you asked where the next bubble could come from. The country that is number one on most people's list is China, and the reason is that it's had many of the characteristics of other asset bubbles. What are they? Number one, a big rise in property values. And number two is a big buildup in debt of companies and developers, especially following the financial crisis. So research organizations like the Bank for International Settlements has them high on the list. Okay, that's what I'm watching. But what I'm also cognizant of is this has gone on a long time, and it may not play out like a traditional Western-style crisis. What am I talking about? Well, let's say interest rates start rising in China, and that causes the property market to sell off from very lofty levels. Banks get in trouble. The biggest difference of the Chinese situation from the U.S. is their government controls so much of the financial sector that they can just directly infuse capital to prop up their banks, whereas in the U.S. we did it, but it took time, and the market, meanwhile, sold off. So my bottom line is China's what I'm watching, but I'm not expecting that it plays out exactly the same way our financial crisis played out.
I guess you can compare that, sorry for interjecting here, into what we saw in Japan, where the malaise they've had for days. It's different.
Absolutely. I think, Stu, you're spot. I mean, thank you. If anything, I would say that there are more analogies to the Japanese situation, because in Japan, in the late 1980s and so, you had both a big rise in property values and a rise in the stock market. The trigger for the bursting of the bubble was a major increase in interest rates by the Bank of Japan. And the big mistake the Bank of Japan made was they realized they had a bubble. The problem wasn't tightening monetary policy, but they didn't know the lesson that once a bubble bursts, then you have to take your foot off the brake, and you may have to flood the market with liquidity, as the Fed did. So I would agree with you that the better analogy for China is Japan than the United States.
Are you a believer, Nicholas, in technical analysis and cycles, that all we have to do is look in past history to repeat itself? I'm not an economist by any stretch. I'm just an average guy. My feeling is, with international global markets changing, with our culture changing, with our technology changing, that I'm not sure that holds.
I think that's right. In other words, I believe in the following. I believe there are cycles, but I don't believe in the inevitability of cycles. And I believe that really the challenge, you know, for investors is if everything played out the same, investing would be easy. And the difference so often is situations may seem similar but have different outcomes. And I want to give you one example. The first two oil shocks both resulted in huge rises in bond yields and then big sell-offs in stock markets. So the problem was inflation, and that was bad for financial markets. But in subsequent oil shocks in the 90s, in the past decade, we had the opposite effect. We had actually bond yields declining because people were more worried about the risks to the economy, and we didn't have inflation. So that's why you have to look at each situation and say, how is this similar to what happened in the past, but how is it also different? And that's what I try to do in my analysis in the book.
Are we overvalued by too much right now with PEs?
I would say that valuations are a bit stretched, but I'm not in the bear market camp. And the like. As I said, Stu, if you said to me, what's the big risk of paint a scenario? Okay, this is what I would say again. I tell investors, focus on the outcome of the tax reform bill that will come out. It will probably come out in the fall. And I've got two scenarios. I've got the good scenario and I've got the bad scenario. The good scenario says we get the tax reform, and I like the bill that the Republican House leadership, is proposing, because it's not going to blow out the budget deficit. Therefore, I don't have to worry about a major rise in bond yields. If so, I think that the rally can at least hold. The alternative scenario is one, though, where for a variety of reasons, I don't want to get too complex, things start to fall apart when you try to get a bill through Congress, and you wind up with a Christmas tree, where there's a lot of more there's a lot more giveaways, and we haven't figured out how to pay for it, in which case the budget deficit blows out. If bond yields were to spike, I'm not saying they will, but if they were, a full percentage point, going, say, for the long bond from 3% to 4% or higher, the stock market...
You're going to have to come back. Please come back again.
Thank you.
We have so much more to cover, but unfortunately, have to move on. I can't believe
Thank you so much.
Stay on as we go to a break here. Nicholas P. Sarge of the book Global Sharks and Investment Guide for Turbulent Markets. I hope we get a copy of it. It's been a pleasure. We will we'll return.
Are you searching for a compelling speaker who can help your employees empower positive changes in their company? Then meet Stu Taylor. Stu is a true Renaissance man whose track record as a businessman, professional broadcaster, and author assisted in modifying and shaping the behavior of thousands of people. His vast experience impacts people by emphasizing the need to be proactive and consistently goal-directed in a rapidly changing, fast-paced world where information grows exponentially. Stu Taylor's passion and sincerity translates immediately to audiences. He has mesmerized groups wherever he has spoken with refreshing candor and the ability to address the issues on a level people can identify with. Get results for your organization from someone who has translated his success to thousands. Check out his website at www.stutaylor.com.
Or contact Stu Taylor at 781-860-9548.
Have you ever wanted to stop the 9-to-5 grind and start your own business? Do you want to have more control of your income? Then now is the time to start and grow a business. Hi, I'm Heather Havenwood, and as a female entrepreneur, I have succeeded, I have bit the dust, I have bounced back to growth and prosperity. But this would not have been possible without first taking the leap and owning my own business. So join me every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern with my show, The Win.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. That's 800-848-2370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a
living room. Oh no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-973-5533. That's 800-973-5533. Call 800-973-5533 today.
Biz Talk Radio. You're tuned in to Money Matters Boston, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, it's Steve Case, the co-founder of AOL, the chairman of Revolution and Case Foundation, the author of a new book called The Third Wave, and I enjoyed talking about the book with Stu Taylor on the show.
Darling, you send me, I know you.
All right, curiosity has gotten to me, and I'm so impressed with our next guest and what he's accomplished that. As soon as my grandkids get here, I'm going to just turn them right on to this. I'm talking about the Emmy-nominated Outstanding Children's Series, Anadroids. It's returning to Amazon for seasons 4. You ready for this? 10 Emmy nominations. 10, which ties Sesame Street. I never heard of Sesame Street until, I'm just kidding. Tied Sesame Street for the most nominations in 2016. And here to join us is creator J.J. Johnson about the hit live-action adventure series that teaches children. I'm not going to take over the interview. I want J.J. Johnson to do it. Welcome. A real pleasure to have you on the show. What does this great – tell us about this great series and what the objective is in terms of teaching kids.
Sure. Well, first, thank you for that introduction. This show was inspired by some of the science fiction shows that I watched growing up. I think particularly Star Trek, which really had a hopeful view of the future, and I hope that that's something that's instilled in this show. Ultimately, the show is about a little girl who builds androids in her junkyard, which she lives in with her dad. In the first episode, she builds her most sophisticated android, an android named Pal, which is her most humanoid-looking. And really, over the next 4 seasons, we chart Pal's growth as something that wants to be a human being. And so we watch as Pal decides which gender it wants to become, and it uses the kids that it's surrounded by to kind of form its identity. And then really in this 4th season, it's the culmination of Pal's relationship with Anne, which is kind of, you know, in a weird way, like a parental relationship. She created Pal, and as Pal becomes more self-sufficient and wanting its independence, in this 4th season, it's really about Anne learning how to let go of one of her creations.
Yeah, I mean, I love all of this, and I love it because it's a mechanism towards teaching young kids who can't have difficulty focusing at that age. I know because I still have difficulty focusing at this age. It's done through books. It's done through television. It's done through movies. You know, all of this is so positive. What is the age demographic, JJ?
Well, I would say this show really targets kids 8 to 12. But with any good science fiction, I think it expands beyond that. When we produce the show, we're really trying to hit families. We want parents to, you know, we want kids to have questions for their parents, and we want parents to be watching with their kids so that hopefully they can facilitate some of those questions. This is not a show that shies away from big topics, and so we look at a myriad of issues throughout the show, and I think that's one of the things that separates it from other shows out there. I think that we really do believe that kids are more sophisticated than we give them credit for, and that they have bigger emotional lives than I think are shown on some of the shows that are, you know, more comedy-based. I know growing up for me, I mean, there were struggles. My parents got divorced. There was loss of jobs and things like that, and so we try to infuse that into the show as well so that it feels much more real and I think hopefully connects with the audience on a much deeper level.
Yeah, and again, congratulations. I mean, I won't repeat it, but, I mean, the accomplishments, when you start being talked about in the same breath as Sesame Street, I mean, it doesn't get much better, and this isn't something that's necessary through advertising or publication. It's based through viewership and success. So, again, I'm overly impressed. When you look at this, series and people listening are saying, okay, where can we watch it? When can we watch it?
Sure. So it's on Amazon Prime. So right now we have 3 seasons that are up. You can watch it online on Amazon Prime. You can also download their app, which is Amazon Video app. And the fourth season, which is our finale season, comes out this Friday on March 3rd. So all 13 episodes will be made available this Friday. But there are currently 39 episodes already posted online.
All right. I mean, your background. I want to get into what you did prior. You've received Emmy nominations for Dino Dan and with the Wonder Pets. And again, I haven't seen them, but I'll have to go back into the archives and find them. Was there a tie over? What did you learn from having been involved with those series that assisted Anadroids?
Well, when I'm creating a show, so Dino Dan was a show that I created previously. I think what I always try to do is put the kid in the center of the adventure and also make sure that they are the ones that are making the decisions. So not that they don't have helpful parents and advisors that are surrounding them as characters, but at the end of the day, we're trying to teach some self-sufficiency, and that, you know, there are hurdles that you're going to come up against that, you know, you need to solve by yourself or by pulling in the opinions of others. But we're really trying to push, self-determination and learning how to overcome adversity and deal with challenges. And I think, if anything, with the previous shows that we've done, we've been inching closer and closer to being as truthful about kids' lives, and I think Androids is the culmination of that. Just with the different family structures that we present on the show and the range of characters and the struggles that we're dealing with, I think it's a step closer to what I hope we can ultimately get to, which is, you know, really being honest about, you know, some of the struggles that kids have. Because I think when they watch a show, particularly one about science, that can be one of the messages that you're trying to put across. But if there's not that heart or reflection of their real world, I don't know that they're going to be as committed to watching it.
How many constitute the series? How many of these? And how do you go about the production? Do you do like six or seven in a day? And how long does it stretch out for?
Sure. So a half-hour episode takes us about 4 days to shoot. And we do 13 half-hour episodes per season. So ultimately, it took us about 2 years to fully shoot out this production. It's one of my favorite shows that we've shot because it's a live-action show. So we actually found a junkyard environment, which was about an acre large, and added to that to create all these environments where she's got her Androids engineering bay where she builds the Androids. She's got a sleeping bay where they're put to sleep to re-energize. She's got this insect exploration zone that she's built out of this fallen silo. Like it's just like for me as a kid, it's a dream space. I grew up in a small town, so we spent a lot of time exploring junkyards. It was kind of the only thing that we could do. And I honestly love that aesthetic because it's almost like a anthropological study on humanity. I mean, there's things there from 100 years old to just last week, and so it's just this bizarre environment of weird objects. And I've always tried to position Anne as a character who sees things not for what they are, but for what they can become. And so she grabs all these different pieces and puts them together and creates, you know, fantastical androids. And I just think that's a really kind of admirable character trait.
All right, Androids. I want to give you the website, amazon.com/androids. amazon.com/androids. You'll have all the information you need. What's the biggest challenge for you in putting these together?
Well, this one, surprisingly, it was the fact that we had a girl lead. We pitched this show about 5 years ago initially. And we were rejected by every U.S. network, with some of them saying specifically it was because it was a girl lead, and they just didn't believe that boys would watch a female character, especially one that was interested in science and engineering. And so where I owe a great debt of gratitude is to Amazon. They were just launching at that point, and they were looking for content that was risky and pushed messages of diversity. And so they picked up the show. Otherwise, if they hadn't picked up Androids, it would not have found a home in the U.S. And I love now, we're actually, there's a network out of Germany where the show is as well, that did a study that found that after kids watch Androids, their views about what girls are capable of for boy audiences changes, where they suddenly are aware that girls could become scientists and engineers. And for girls, it changes their view of what they could become. And so they asked girls before they watched the show what they wanted to be. And it was things like actors and famous and, you know, singers. And after the show, there was like a 33% increase in girls saying that they wanted to become scientists or create robots or go into space. And really, I mean, to me, as much as the Emmys are amazing, and they are, that kind of report and information that you're able to change the way kids see themselves or each other, I mean, there's nothing better.
Love it. I absolutely love it, especially being the father of two girls and having a granddaughter. Were you a big Sesame Street fan? And did you get anything from Sesame Street that helped you here?
Sorry, he disconnected.
Oh, okay. I guess we had a little bit of a disconnect. So if he comes on, Laurie, in the next, I don't know, you figure it out, put him back on.
Absolutely.
In any case, you'll see if you can contact him to thank him, because we certainly didn't hang up on that. I love it. I love it. So we're coming up a little short of a break here. And if J.J. Johnson chimes in right now, we'll get back to him, at least to thank him for joining us. If not, we've got another segment coming up. And what I want to do in this segment is get back to where I was, because there are a lot of people, you know, they may hate Trump. I don't care whether you like him. You don't have to like Donald Trump. He's doing a hell of a job. I mean, he's doing a hell of a job. All right, we're going to come back. I'm pumping Trump right after this.
Are you searching for a compelling speaker who can help your employees empower positive changes in their company? Then meet Stu Taylor. Stu is a true Renaissance man whose track record as a businessman, professional broadcaster, and author assisted in modifying and shaping the behavior of thousands of people. His vast experience impacts people by emphasizing the need to be proactive and consistently goal-directed in a rapidly changing, fast-paced world where information grows exponentially. Stu Taylor's passion and sincerity translates immediately to audiences. He has mesmerized groups wherever he has spoken with refreshing candor and the ability to address the issues on a level people can identify with. Get results for your organization from someone who has translated his success to thousands. Check out his website at www.stutaylor.com.
Or contact Stu Taylor at 781-860-9548.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM19, Oregon DM80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio. The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBMW.
This is Lanny Davis doing an interview with Stu Taylor about my book, Crisis Tales, Five Rules for Coping with Crises in Business, Politics, and Life. I'm enjoying this interview very much, especially because Stu Taylor, who may be wrong politically about almost everything, is a gentleman and knows how to civilly disagree with my very liberal perspective.
All right, the red lights are flashing here in my own mind. No longer am I deriving the pleasure of watching the miserable progressives suffer on MSNBC and CNN and ABC, NBC, CBS, Washington Post, and the New York Times. They're not suffering, the LA Times. I'm now getting really, really concerned because these fiendish devils, I'm trying to be kind in the terminology I use, are willing to sacrifice the safety of the American people, the security of the United States, and all that represents morals and ethics in terms of serving their own selfish, miserable interests in a vengeful attack on everything that smells not of Hillary Clinton. And I think Hillary's by the sidelines, maybe coming out of her depression. It's indeed alarming, and I said in the past, in fact, I've been saying it since when Trump won the election, I'm loving this, I'm enjoying it. Officially, I stopped enjoying this yesterday, and I started to get extremely worried. And I got, you know, my line to everybody is, how do you like what you made in the stock market? Well, the last thing I'm going to do is analyze what's going to happen to the market, which is going to be in for some kind of correction. But I have been saying day after day here with the cuts of regulations, middle income tax cuts, and stimulating corporations by lowering the tax rate, I don't know, 35 to 15 or 20%, which would spur this growth and revenue in this economy. And all of that right now is kind of on a detoured route, because the dumbest thing you can do is analyze the market day by day. I mean, unless to say that, Starbucks stock or Target, oh, I love saying Target stock fell 25%. Nordstrom, Starkville. Love it. But it's more than that. It's a deep-rooted hatred that could undo everything that it looks like we're accomplishing. And this deep-rooted hatred is most mystifying to me. And I know I've said it at the show. I'm going to say it again. When the Republicans won the Senate and the House and Obama was president, and Obama came right out. I remember, he acted like he had just won. He just ignored the fact that he suffered a mass defeat. And the mass defeat that was suffered this year kind of climaxed everything. The House, the Senate, governorships, I don't know what the number is, some 13,000 people have shifted in terms of their affiliation or their ability to perform. Trump is going to have massive cuts where it isn't needed in Washington. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is fantastic news. And I sit here, how can Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Barack Obama, even George Soros, how can they continue to be in control of this country? Now, I have to discount Hollywood because, by and large, they're a bunch of nitwits. I mean, there are people like James Woods and John Voight. They're great. They're terrific. But by and large, it looks like we're living in a Hollywood society. And if they get their way, all the good that's being done right now will be undone because I have a lot of how can you not have confidence in Trump's ability to accomplish things? I mean, it's truly amazing. But Trump isn't in control of his own company, and running a country has got to be different than running a business. And there has to be some carryover to how to run a successful business and from that to how to run a country. And it's, in a sense, questionable whether Trump has acquired those skills. But let me say one other thing on this. It wouldn't matter if he was statesmanlike, if he were diplomatic. It wouldn't matter. This is why I say to my fellow conservative, patriotic Americans, do not compromise with these devils. There's no compromise. And this is a mistaken attitude a lot of people have. Oh, we're going to have a bipartisan solution to this. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We're at war, and it's not just war against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Russia and China and Iran and Syria. We're at war. We're at war with maybe the biggest war of them all right in our own country. And it's like a book, and Michael Savage has been on this show. It's like a book he wrote, The Enemy Within. The biggest enemy we are fighting, I am telling you, is the enemy within. Because it doesn't matter. You look at that Iran deal, which should be blown up. It's disgraceful. And the cash, $200 million or something, and bills given to Iran. This would not only result in the dismissal of any Republican, it would be immediate imprisonment. Obama did it. There's nothing. And then he slips $221 million to the PLO just when he gets out, and he releases as many as he can from Guantanamo. Is there a person with any sense of reason and intelligence who can now step forward and say Barack Obama was serving in the best interests of the United States? The answer is so emphatically no. That other than these talking points I give on this show, it's not even a road worth going down. Keep drinking the Kool-Aid out there, you'll lose your country. The country has an opportunity to be saved with the election of one Donald Trump. You want to rebel against Donald Trump? You'll suffer the consequences. Sorry to end on such a sour note. I am really ticked off today. But have a great weekend. I'll try to come back with a smile on Monday. This is Stu Taylor.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.